This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Baseball with the Royals. That's where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. Come and watch it with me.
Get warm in Kansas City. It's time for the boys in blue. Bobby, Vinny, Sally, Massey, Freddie, MJ, Indy, Walker, Reagan's, Luke, O'Matty, Q. We want to see some dingers, no hitters, game winners, the season at the game. Come hella high water, the boys in blue will come to play and win the day.
Baseball with the Royals, that's where you want to be. Yes, baseball with the Royals, come and watch it with me.
That's right. Old number five's there for you. Brock Watson all on the jam session there here
Watson,
on Fresco.
Yes!
And Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan as we are diving along through opening day. You could throw in your expectations for the Royals this year. Who you like the most to be the outstanding player, maybe outside of Bobby Witt Jr.? When do you think Caglione will get called up? Vinny Pasquantino, stuff like that. Again, was out there yesterday for the fan practice. My buddy went, said it was awesome.
Yeah.
That little kid that, I don't know if you saw this yesterday on the internet, the kid showed up looking like Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. said, hey, buddy, here you go. Here's my baseball bat.
Yeah, how about that? How
so cool is that?
That kid's already won the season, dude.
Well, like, he's won life, right?
And immediately it's on Amazon for the right price of, and I'm kidding.
No, it's not.
Did you know he made $11,400 on that, but he's Bobby Witt Jr.'s? I'm kidding.
I know. Now, if the kid did sell it, make some money on it, well, good for him. I mean, good for the kid, right? You only have a couple opportunities in life to cash in. You might as well do it when you can.
No, it's awesome because Bobby noticed him. Like, that's the thing that's cool. Like, we always have those things with, like, athletes. Like, I've known people that have went and seen, like, major tournaments in golf, and, like, yeah, Tiger Woods just didn't even act like anybody existed.
Well, that's
he's in the zone.
Yeah, that's,
right?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, like, some people's views are skewed by that, where it's like, oh, yeah, we just said, screw it. We're going to follow somebody else who's more energetic. It's like, well, that's just Tiger, man. Like, that's why he
was
so good.
Why would you want to follow anyone else? Like, I don't care how affable Tiger is or isn't.
Right.
Like, if I'm going to a golf tournament and he's playing, that's the greatest of all time. That's who I want to follow.
Crowd size is another reason why some of my buddies are like, this sucks.
Point.
You can't really see anything.
Can't see anything.
But you can hear it. And Bobby, you know, he sees his kid in the stands. He's like, hey, come on down here. And he goes down there, sees he's got the eye black on, the Bobby Jr., the Bobby mullet, gives him the bat and says, respect, respect's given.
Yeah, watch baseball through the eyes of that kid this year. Oh, seriously,
man.
Watch the game through the eyes of children. Stop watching it through the eyes of nerds.
Gen Z loser ball.
Yeah. I'm like in a toss up. Do I want a Lorenzen jersey or do I want a Jonathan India jersey? Because Lorenzen gave us the line of all time with the Gen Z loser ball. Mm. And I think Jonathan India is going to be just incredible for this ball club this year. Like I could be,
he's your man crush.
He is, man. Okay. Like it sounds like George got a man crush on him. Q had a man crush on him yesterday. The organization seemingly as a whole, I talked to somebody, he's like, he's doing everything we want him to do and more. Like, it's just one of those players that I think is going to be like, you didn't know what you didn't have, but then you got him and you're like, oh my goodness, what a great addition this guy has been to the top of the lineup. But I keep saying it, like 35, 36% of the time he's going to get on base in front of Bobby, you know, and he's going to be there and he's going to be with the ability to steal a base. Bobby can hit behind him, move him to third, drive him in, Salvi, boom, boom, boom. We got ourselves some runs early on. Like, that's what we were missing last year in this lineup. Now, we still need the outfield bats to come and perform. We can talk about MJ. I mean, yeah, there's one down in the minor leagues waiting for MJ to not listen and, you know, do what George is telling him to do and, you know, basically hit himself out of the big leagues is what's going to happen with MJ. He's ultimately, if he doesn't make it, it's all on him. It's nobody else, clearly. But they've got to find a way to get that guy going. And if MJ doesn't get going early, man, I don't think it's going to be long. As long as Cags is doing what he needs to do in the minors, I don't think it's going to be long if MJ isn't getting the job done.
No drive today because Vern will take over at 2 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan with your Royals pregame. Then the Royals will take over at 2:30. But from 10 to 2, Cody and Gold, they have a loaded show with them and Drew as well. It'll be Cole Reagans, JJ Piccolo, Ryan Lefevre, Josh Verner, and Brian Kenny all on their show. They are live at the K right by Gate D, so go hackle them for a little bit. They love it. Alex loves meeting the fans. He'll have his shades on, hair done.
Oh, yeah. Alex will look good, man.
Oh, yeah. He always shows up for opening day.
Going to pick up at the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. He ain't going to leave single, that's for sure, if he takes the right outfit out there.
Yeah.
Cody might. But either way you want to look at it, it is a loaded day here on 96.5 The Fan, giving you opening day buzz. But we saw this yesterday. Only the Rays, Jays, White Sox, and Angels and A's have worse odds to make the World Series. Are we missing anything here with the Kansas City Royals? Because they're plus 3,000 to make the World Series.
Yeah, I just think the only thing that, you know, the bettors or the gamblers or whoever's putting out the odds are looking at with the Royals is it's tough to duplicate what they did last year. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, right? But you also have to take it for where we are, you know, in baseball right now. And that's a wide open American League. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite? Everybody's going to have a different answer, mm-hmm. you know, to that question, because there is no clear cut favorite in the American League right now. You're talking about a playoff team from a year ago with an MVP candidate and a Cy Young candidate and a Hall of Famer. You've got to be giving the Royals more credit. But I do think a lot of people are looking at what they did last year, how many guys had career years, and how hard that is to duplicate again. I mean, a 3.55 starting staff ERA is freaking impressive. So I think there's a lot of people in the odds world that are banking on they're not going to be able to do that again.
Right. I think you look at the divisions and you take, you know, your top two teams out of all of them. I think Boston is going to surprise some people this year with how good they could be. Baltimore,
their DH is?
Yeah, Devers.
Yeah, the best DH in the American League.
Yeah, you know
right?
Who the third baseman is.
Exactly.
The best third baseman
in American League. Right, yeah. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic there to see how that all plays out, too, to see if Devers buys in to being an everyday designated hitter.
Well, he should. He's still getting paid and still going to be able to do a lot more.
Yeah,
but doing a lot less.
Involved, man.
That's fair. I mean, I would love to be a DH in baseball. That'd be like, to me, like the best position possible. But Baltimore, I think, is the scariest team in the East. Obviously, New York is beat up. I don't know what Tampa Bay can be. Toronto, I think that's a team ready to just sell. Expect Vladimir Guerrero to be a Yankee by the end of July. The Central, I think it's between the Tigers and the Royals, and we'll see if Cleveland can hang on. I think their time is getting closer and closer to not being that dominant team. Obviously, Jose Ramirez will have three hits today because he just absolutely destroys the Royals.
Just destroys baseball, though.
That's fair. Out in the West, Houston, right? Altuve is playing left field for the Astros. The Angels, we don't know. Obviously, I don't trust in them to be any decent.
No.
Seattle, probably the team favorite out in there with their rotation, their team.
Texas
that they have.
Is still going to be there, though.
Yeah, and they had a disappointing year last year coming off a World Series victory and then just completely got lost. But Seattle's got a good rotation. Julio Rodriguez says he's fixed his swing. Wants to get back in that MVP category for the AL. But, I mean, honestly,
They were lollygagging in Texas last year, from what I understand.
Maybe a little bit of a hangover?
Yeah, of course. And so now you have that hangover year, which I think just about everybody does but the Chiefs. And then you can bounce back this year. There's still a lot of talent down there in Texas. And so I think they're going to be okay. But I think you're right. I think last year the hangover year for Texas. And now you bounce back. It's like when you start, you know, drinking on a Friday night in your 40s. Tuesday you feel good. Yeah. You miss the rest of the weekend, right? That's where Texas was. They missed all of last year. I think they'll be back. I think they'll be a good team this year. But it doesn't mean they're going to win this whole thing. It doesn't mean they're going to win the American League. This thing is as wide open, man. Like, you know, the Dodgers are coming out of the National League, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that going in. But this should be a great season for American League fans, because there really isn't that team at the top of the rotation. You mentioned with Vlad Jr. going to the Yankees by July. How soon after Alcantara pitches today will the trade rumors start from him going from Miami to the Yankees, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
Especially if he pitches great today.
Right. I mean, I just... Look, and I think this is why it's so important just to... I think they should win the AL Central, the Royals I'm talking about, but, like, just get into the playoffs. Yeah. Because, like... I don't know what the largest margin will be for a division winner in the AL. Maybe 4 or 5 games, as we're looking at from an opening day, maybe hot take there. But, like, you get into the playoffs and everybody in the AL, as of right now, I mean, I think, look, you took care of Baltimore last year on the road in 2 games. You took your pitching into their park and beat them.
Beat them.
And, you know, you had Irsig in those games. You didn't have him in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously winning your division, you're a lock. Getting to the playoffs, it is a open forum of who can be the leader in the conversation of who the best team in the AL is. And all of a sudden, this team that, you know, we watched Bobby Witt Jr. see the Yankees celebrate on his own field, crying in the locker room, feeling like he let the city down, but this team came back and brought this city back to baseball. Today's going to be electric. They're going to feel it. There's going to be a buzz. Just ride this season out, whether you win or lose this game. You got 161 more to go, but this team should be doing something special this year, because like we said earlier in this season, in the offseason or the spring training schedule, this team showed up together all early in spring training. The last time that happened, that team went to the World Series in 2015.
And they said, we know we're going to the playoffs. We're a playoff team, so they just have to do with the little things necessary to get there and stay healthy, obviously, is going to be a big, big, big component of all of that. But I just think right now, like, if the Royals had signed Santander, right, wouldn't they be the overwhelming favorite to win this division?
I think so.
I think so, too.
They would have had the bat. They'd have had the pitching. But then, again...
Maybe you don't have the bullpen then.
And maybe you don't have India.
Right.
Maybe you didn't trade Brady Singer. I don't know. Yeah, possibly you get them both done, but I don't know. But if you go through the divisions, the Twins are the favorite at +210. These are all according to DraftKings. The Tigers at +220. The Guardians at +300. The Royals, a little disrespect, at +310. And everybody's favorite, the White Sox, +25,000.
That's right.
To win the AL Central. So go beat them 18 out of 19 times again, and you'll give yourself a real good chance at making the playoffs.
What if you don't, though? Like, what if the White Sox actually beat people this year?
Well, they always do. There's always, like, two teams they beat up on, like, Houston or Detroit. Right, it's always somebody like they just can't beat the White Sox. But again, go beat them as much as you can, because that'll give you some automatic wins or a free space on the bingo card. It is Thursday, the guy that joins us all the time, but a little bit later today. Sorry, he got bumped for George Brett. Ben Maller, which is brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. He'll join us on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, we start where everybody's starting today. It's opening day in baseball, the day we determine whether our team is good or bad based on one game. How pumped up are you for opening day? Because we can't wait here in KC.
I'm fired up. This is great. Listen, you know, I'm in L.A. I'm a Dodger fan. They're already 2-0. They're 2 games ahead of everyone, so I'm excited about that. And the Dodgers have reached arch-villain status, which I like. Like, everyone hates them. They think they're ruining baseball, so I'm excited about that. But I'm looking forward to seeing how this thing plays out. To me, the American League is wide open. Like, the Yankees are – I don't even know if the Yankees make the playoffs without Soto, without Gerrit Cole, who's out for the year. There's a ragtag pitching staff in New York. So you take the Yankees, you put them down several pegs. The team in Houston that I call the cheating Astros, I don't think they make the playoffs, even though the American League West is terrible. So they got a shot still because the division's bad. So that opens it up for a team like the Royals or the Orioles or one of these other teams in the American League to sneak on in there. And whoever ends up representing the American League, assuming the Dodgers in the World Series, then I know we're going to get ahead of ourselves, but they become like everyone's favorite team because everyone's going to be pulling against the Dodgers. So it's going to be fun to see how this all plays out. And on opening day, everyone's excited. They get the bunting out of the ballpark, the red, white, and blue, and all that stuff. It's awesome. They do the introductions like the playoffs where they line them all up at first and third base. The whole thing's great. The smell of ballpark food, it's all new, and what's not to like? I'm fired up. I'm excited. And I'm not going to a game, but I will be sitting on my tuchus. I'll be watching all day, so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, there's nothing better than the opening day bunting. It's different than playoff bunting. You know, they roll that stuff out and get ready to rock and roll. But you mentioned the American League. I was having this conversation with some folks at spring training. Like, nobody knows who the favorite is. Is it the Red Sox now? I mean, who is the favorite in the American League?
Yeah, it's a toss-up. And as far as the bunting, don't forget the oversized American flag. Where do they put these things? The jumbo-sized American flag. You only see them on opening day, the playoffs, maybe some football games. But where do they sit? They must take up so much space. Who pays for them? Is there a storage locker somewhere where they keep all of them? Do you have to have multiple? I want to know. Like, somebody's got – and who? If you need a giant flag, who do you call? I wouldn't know who to call. I'm sure you can just Google it. But is there a company that only does giant flags? There must be. Yeah, but answer your question. The gambling market will still say the Yankees because of the amount of Yankee fans there are, and they're trying to protect themselves. But that's not legit. I'm not sold on the Red Sox only from the standpoint that pitching staff. Walker Buehler is a two-time Tommy John guy, and Garrett Crochet also, he wouldn't even pitch late in the year. He turned down a trade to I think it was the Dodgers, because he didn't want to pitch over a certain number of innings. So using the math on that, that's not going to work if these guys are out. Yeah, going into the season, the Red Sox look very good if those guys are healthy and all that, but they're not going to be. Yeah, you know they're not going to be. The reason the Yankees, you still would say, are there is because they are going to trade for Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins or somebody like that if they need a pitcher. So that's why you still have the Yankees up there. But as the Yankees currently, we do the show today, right, Bob? Today, the Yankees I would not bet on to get to the World Series because that's not a World Series roster. How about the Mets, though? Speaking of New York, Clay Holmes is the opening day starter for the Mets. How does that happen? How does that happen if you're the Mets and you spent $765 million on Juan Soto and you're rolling out Clay Holmes, a relief pitcher, as your opening day starter? Wow.
All right. According to Reddit, you know, your boy, the guy that, you know, gets told to go Google, figures it out. Today you learned that is a thread in Reddit. It's TIL. It's pretty fun. Flags that cover the entire football field. That's what we're going with because you can't cover a whole baseball field. $6,200 to rent, so they must stay at a laboratory, and they are $50,000 to make, and they weigh 1,100 pounds.
That's great information. So this is, you're opening my eyes. I'm so lazy, I never bothered to look it up, and now you're 50 grand to make those?
50 grand, that's a lot of yarn, man.
Where would you make one? Like, you'd have
some factory. Like
in a hangar or something like that?
Yeah, it says that there's $6,200 to rent, so opening day is very expensive.
What? Wait a minute. How about this? A Fesco in the morning, you, Dusty, and Bob can rent one of those on 4th of July, and everyone will come down and take a photo with a giant flag. That'd be a great bit. You can get sponsors, the whole thing.
I think you missed the key factor, Ben, where it's 1,100 pounds, man. We got to get like 80 people to hold that thing.
You get a couple of board ops and some, you know, get some interns together. You'll be fine. Right. Come on. Bring your listeners, man. Your P1 guys will show up, right? They'll be there. They'll do the heavy lifting for you.
There's like eight other people in this building right now, total. Ben, I want to bring this up from an opening day perspective to switch it over to college basketball. Because I remember we did this, I don't know, we've done this for Thursdays for a while now, you, me, and Bob. Yeah. But like we talked about this time of the year, right? Like I think you were team October, like team fall. Like must be nice California weather. You don't feel like we do here. But like here, everything's been covered in snow. Everything's been kind of just dead. It's starting to get green, purple, red. I mean, it was awesome. And you have opening day. You have March Madness Sweet 16, where I think now we are going to get the madness because now all the teams are pretty equal, even though all the Vegas lines would tell you like 6.5, 6.5, 5.5, 9.5. But is this not the greatest time of the year in sports? I'll give you another chance.
So I'm not going to take the bait. I don't hate it. Listen, I'm excited. You know, we all have shows to do, and you know, I got 8 million things I'm supposed to be watching today, and you know, hopefully something will come out of it. We have something to talk about. So I'm into it. You know, sort of, you know, like everyone else, though, my bracket's gone to hell. I didn't take all chalk, so I'm not all that excited about the college basketball games tonight. But, you know, it's a fun time. It's cool. Like you said, you answered the question, though, Dusty. I don't have to deal with weather. All I get is, like, June gloom in L.A., where it gets a little overcast for, like, a month. It actually starts in May. And that's about it. I mean, other than we get fire season, where the city burns down every year, unfortunately. We get that. And we have earthquakes and things like that. But we don't get really bad cold weather or anything. But I like the time of the year. I love opening day. But I like the fall better. I'm still start of NFL season, and you've got the World Series, the baseball playoffs. That's my sweet spot. That's where I am.
Yeah, it is big, though, with the Sweet 16 kind of going all chalk, though. I mean, this is what we want. Everybody complains there's no Cinderellas, there's no upsets. We did the research. There's very few Cinderellas and very few upsets that truly do happen in the NCAA tournament. We just remember it. Isn't the tournament better that we have all the brand names in it going forward?
No, absolutely. And this is one of those things. I'm convinced we all get shamed. Like, you fill out your bracket. Is your bracket busted, right? All that. Because they tell you you're not supposed to bet chalk. If you say in your Final Four, I'm going to have 3 number one seeds and a number two seed, everyone's like, oh, you're a loser. What's wrong with you? You know, you got to pick some upsets, you know. But yet, if you just bet the favorites or pick them in your bracket, your office pool, you'll be in great shape. But, yeah, we've got, you know, you think about the teams that have national following. Now, Florida, I still think of, I don't know, are they a football school anymore? They haven't been that great at football in a while. Like, they used to be a football school. But Duke, Arizona's a great basketball school. They play today. You got Calipari at Arkansas, and, you know, putting them back on the map. So they're saying, you know, Alabama's a football school. They're playing today. So, but these are national, they have national fan bases. So yeah, I'd say it's great. People will be watching it. They'll be engaged and they'll be betting on it as well. So
you believe Aaron Rodgers is going to retire? Or is he going to be a Minnesota Viking?
No, I'm going with my caller, Andrea, the astrology lady, that he's waiting till Mercury's out of retrograde, which is April 7th. So we have 10 more days to go. And then he's going to announce, because he's trying to avoid the cosmic hurricane, that if he announces it now, it's maybe he's on vacation. I don't know. Like, what is there to wait for? I don't get it. And he's taking his time. It's like a Sunday drive for him.
Yeah, he doesn't care, you know, that he's holding everybody up because he's a narcissist. But the interesting one is Dak Prescott to Cleveland. That rumor got started yesterday, and that's a great one, because you'd have to think Dallas wants the number two pick back in return from Cleveland for that to draft Shedeur Sanders, right?
Oh, yeah, but that's a wonderful, juicy rumor. And unfortunately, I think financially it might not actually work, but I don't care. I live in a different dimension. And in my dimension, I think it would be great. And, yeah, the Shedeur Sanders thing to the Cowboys. Now, hey, there's a shot. Like, this thing goes sideways and Shadur's still there when the Cowboys are drafting. Like, he's not guaranteed to be a top five pick in the draft. There's people that are questioning whether or not he can actually play at the NFL level at a high level. But if we can somehow get Deion Sanders, wherever Shedeur Sanders goes, there will be every month a story about, well, Deion Sanders, he wants to coach his kid. Yeah, maybe he'll coach his kid again in the NFL, whether it's the Giants, whether it's the Browns, whether it's the Cowboys. And the Cowboys don't have a coach. They've got, it's like a temp guy, Schottenheimer's kid. He's just there for a year or two, and then they'll move on from him. So, yeah, I love the Dak Prescott stuff. And if I was the Cowboys, I would trade him. I would absolutely, if you can find a sucker for Dak Prescott, I would absolutely do that. He is the personification of a guy who's overrated. He's a stat bandito. He's been that way for years. And why not start over? Hit the reset button. It's not like you're making the playoffs anyway. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They're probably not going to make the playoffs this year, considering they haven't done anything. They've had a zombie offseason so far.
Ben, when you bring all that stuff up with the NFL and, like, Dak Prescott and everything like that, do you also believe that Cam Ward is still going to be a Tennessee Titan? Because then I also see, you know, I love these stories, right? Like, we never know who's right. Now there's talk that Tennessee was, you know, creating smoke around the thought that they were going to take Cam Ward as a slam dunk so that other people would take the bait. Bold strategy, or is this just like, hey, Cam Ward's number one?
Well, that's what I love this time of the year. Anything that happens, it's almost like politics. Like politician screws up. They did that intentionally. You know, same thing as like there's well that so and so is you know they're I actually do think Tennessee does not want Cam Ward. Cam Ward, if you I don't know if you've gotten this. One of my things that I'm a Meshuggah. Every year I read these draft guides. I get sent a lot of them. A lot of them are free now online, and you read the scouting report on Cam Ward, and it doesn't whisper. It yells. This guy should not be a top number one pick in the draft. He's there's a lot of issues there. And in a normal season, Cam Ward would be drafted in the second round, maybe late first round, but second round. So years past, some would say third round pick. And now there's like they're talking about first round pick. And that is something that has changed the last like 15 years or so. Guys that are overdrafted because they play quarterback. Remember Kyler Murray? Number one overall pick, Kyler Murray. People say, well, he's not big enough, but we got to draft him. And he's proven to be not big enough. He can only play half a season, and he falls apart in the second half. Cam Ward will be drafted number one, whether it's by Tennessee or not. I think they're going to trade him. And the guy that I think is going to be awesome, although it's not a sexy pick, is Abdul Carter from Penn State. That guy's a total stud, and you can plug him in, and you know you're going to get solid production for 6 or 7 years at least. So that'd be the guy I would trade up to get. I wouldn't trade up for Cam Ward at all. So wouldn't do that at all.
Ben, before we let you go, how much worse did the Giants get by signing Russell Wilson?
Well, they got bad from a football standpoint, but it's a hell of a story for those tabloids that are hanging on in New York. So, I mean, Mr. Unlimited, he was at the Knicks game last night. I saw him in the Knicks-Clipper game sitting courtside on Celebrity Row. Is he not one of the great carpetbaggers of our time here, Russell Wilson, since he left Seattle? Stunk in Denver, stunk in Pittsburgh, went to the Giants, and you know what's going to happen there. And do you think the coaching staff for the Giants, do you think they've got this weird sense of fatality there that this is not going to go well, that they'll be coaching somewhere else by the end of next season?
Ben, we appreciate the time. Enjoy opening day, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys, let's play ball. Thanks, guys.
Ben Maller brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And just to kind of update you, Dusty, on what's going on, the Aaron Rodgers stuff we talked about, Tom Pelissero on with Jim Rome today, Rackham, says it's Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh or wait is what they're saying now for
he should
Aaron
wait.
Rodgers.
Uh-huh. Max said he should wait until somebody gets hurt because somebody's definitely going to get hurt.
Yep. Or if the Vikings start JJ and go, this isn't what we thought.
Well, the Vikings pretty much said yesterday, JJ's our guy. We want him to be our number one guy,
right?
They
said, we want him to be our QB1, which I thought was weird.
Myles Garrett also said he was leaving Cleveland, too. So anybody who believes statements released by companies or players, you've got a screw loose. So they said they want JJ to be that guy. But if you bring Aaron Rodgers in, then you're not giving JJ that chance. I understand what they're saying. They want him to be that guy. Can he be that guy, right? I don't know if he can be that guy. I'm sure they'll do some preseason practices and get a taste of what this guy's about. They may say, you know what, we need Aaron Rodgers. But it sure sounds like Aaron Rodgers has one option right now, and it's Pittsburgh, or you can just kind of sit back and wait and see what happens and realize that you may be somebody's scrap later on in life when their quarterback goes down.
Yeah, also the thing that we saw yesterday was the Cam Ward smoke.
Yeah.
Like you're what's Buck Rising think about this? Like, what do you put on that? Like, obviously everybody has their sources or what they believe is being told to them. Because, like, the other day, Cam Ward looks at the Tennessee Titans sideline when he's doing his pro day. And he's like, what do you think about that, huh? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, now there's sources, because Pro Football Focus said this, that there's a chance that Tennessee's using this as a smoke screen. So people will be like, oh,
both can be true, though.
Exactly.
Both can be true. Like, there's truth in everything, right?
Fair.
And so he can be the number one pick for Tennessee, but Tennessee could also be using that as a smokescreen to try to trade that number one pick because they need a lot of help. You're picking number one. It's not like you're the Kansas City Chiefs and just were bad in the front office and bad with coaching and you had 17 Pro Bowlers on that roster. You're picking number one because you stink.
Yeah, because you're ass. I think the Titans really like Cam Ward, but I think like what you're saying, Bob, this isn't an Andrew Luck situation where they're, no matter what, we're picking Cam Ward. If they get a good enough offer, heck yeah, and let's raise that stock as much as we can in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, because Cam Ward's looked at as the number one quarterback to be picked. Well, because there isn't much competition. Yeah,
you heard Ben Maller. This is a second-round draft pick, really. Right. Late first, second-round guy.
Right, exactly. It was like, you know, what's his name, who left Missouri a year earlier and was the 12th pick overall and then came here to finish his career. Blake Bortles, Blake somebody, I don't know, Connor...
Yeah.
Fairbune. I don't know what the hell his name was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Brady McCullough. I don't know. Who was the guy that played backup quarterback here 2 years ago? Was from Missouri.
Shane Buechel?
No.
Yeah. Oh, Murray? No.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he was a Blaine real American. Blaine Gabbert.
There we go. Blaine Gabbert.
I knew I'd eventually get to it, but a guy like Blaine Gabbert, he left a year early because he knew there was no quarterbacks, ended up going 12 to Jacksonville. Great move by him to do that. So is Cam Ward truly the number one quarterback, or is he the number one quarterback in a class of second, third, and fourth round picks, you know?
We'll find out.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that, like, when you look at, you look at what they're doing, I mean, it seems like this is the most sort of, like, no one really knows how this draft's going to go. And maybe that's what's making it for me more intriguing as we get closer and closer.
Draft,
we're like less than a month away. And I'm like, I don't know who's going one, and I don't know who's going two, three, four, or five. Like, I saw the video yesterday of the old boy from Penn State. Or was it Ashton
Genty? Abdul Carter. Oh, yeah, you saw Ashton Genty.
Ashton Genty. That guy's a brick house.
I mean,
dude.
What was that? Yeah, was that AI? Was that real?
Dude.
Because the way that he looked, man, that's a thirst trap right there, man.
Seriously.
Like, for every NFL GM, you're like, whoa, I want that. It reminded me of seeing Derrick Henry with no shirt on in Miami. That's exactly what I thought. Mm. I went, oh my God.
Man amongst boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
monster.
Guy was huge. All right, one word for a little bit. Here we go, Mac.
Yeah, one word. Let's start with baseball. So one word to describe Bibee and Reagans going at it on the mound today.
Stellar.
Quick. Strikeouts. Yeah. I've got my prop bets in for today for the Royals game, four legger and opening day. We'll get to that a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, strikeouts, studs, aces, shove, horse. I mean, these are two of the best in the American League going at it. In my opinion, both could be up for a Cy Young Award at the end of the year. They get people out by swinging and missing. And one thing we know, that baseball is quicker. Average game time last year, 2 hours, 33 minutes.
Yep.
Around there. This game will be quick because these guys will be dealing and they will be shoving.
And they will be throwing strikes. And that's the thing. Strikes with a pitch clock means a quick game. So get in your seats and make sure you watch this one. Like, this is not an opening day where you're mingling and walking around and not paying attention to the game. This is a legit matchup on the mound today. You're going to want to see this.
Right.
One word for the Cleveland Guardians this season going through the AL Central.
Meh.
Oh,
wow. Meh.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm just not.
You're out right now.
I'm not in on. I'm not out on them. I'm just kind of meh.
Okay.
Proven. Like, again, you know, you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Mm-hmm.
You want the top spot, you got to beat the guys that have been in the top spot. Cleveland's been there. This has been their division. When you think of the AL Central in the last 4 or 5 years, yeah, Minnesota's sprinkled in there, but like, it's been Cleveland. It's been the Guardians. This is the team that always seems to give you fits. Go out there, win 2 out of 3 to start the season, and take control of the Central from the word go or from play ball. So respectful, top dog-ish. I know that's not one word, but that's where they're at. You got to go beat them. You got to prove that you can beat them, and don't let them look like a more superior team than you.
The Twins, I think they have the highest win total in the division, 84.5 for Minnesota.
Mm. Enigma.
Okay. That's a good one to use. I'm trying to condense this into one word. First manager fired. I could be the manager of the Minnesota Twins.
Pressure.
A lot of pressure on the Twins this year because of the way the season ended last year. I don't know how great the relationship is with the player, the manager over there. You don't lose your last 27 games if things are copacetic, right? Like, probably should have been fired after that collapse last season. So a lot of pressure to get off to a good start, I think, in Minnesota.
Detroit.
Top.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Clone. I think they're the same way, right? They're going to take their team that they think is, you know, the next one up. The Royals think that they're the next one up. They're going to ride Tarik Skubal, the reigning defending Cy Young. He's a certified G and a bona fide stud. Mm. Cole Reagans today says, hopefully hold my beer, as the Texas kid goes out there left-handed and tries to mow him down.
The White Sox.
Trash.
Bad. Okay, fair enough.
I mean, if you want the White Sox broadcast day, it's going to be this.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
That's the Chicago broadcast today.
and we're done.
Yeah, okay. That's one word. We're done.
No. Well, yeah, we'll end it here. We've got more, but we can do it later.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's almost as good as
opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Oh boy, yeah, Ben Maurer, way to go! Landing Liberty, the Ben Maurer chicken fingers, Big Bob's pretzels, Max ooey gooey butter cake. Max is going to go to Maloney's for the game today. So,
look at you!
Oh my God, that's your burp, isn't it?
Yes.
One more time. That's an exorcism, boy. You had some demons in that gut, man. I don't know what you ate the night before, but it wasn't Christian-like. I can tell you that much.
I've been pounded this week.
Coming up on the other side, we get into prop agenda, and I will tell you what, Bobby being the MVP isn't the only Royals future prop that I would bet on. There is another one I think is a lock. We'll get into it on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball.
No doubt about it. Back in action for Royals baseball. It starts today, 2:00 on the air with Josh Verner. Also, do not forget, you can go see Cody and Gold. They are outside KT. Cole Reagans, JJ Piccolo, Ryan LaFever, Josh Verner, Brian Kinney. They won't even talk today. They'll just let their guests do all the talking, which is what you should do when you have a loaded lineup like that. So go see them outside KT. We'll play George Brett again in case you missed it from earlier. We'll play that in the 9:00 hour as we keep going through on this opening day. Vern at 2:00, Royals at 2:30 here on 96.5 The Fan, which is your home for Royals baseball. Bob, Dusty, and Mac with you. Currently here.
What about Carrington? He doesn't get to talk today.
No, he gets the day off.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. He got to do his Royal show yesterday. There are some prop bets as we get into prop agenda here on Fesco and Dusty with the Kansas City Royals. I think there's a bet that's a really good bet to throw a flyer out on. Cole Reagans to lead the major leagues in strikeouts is +2,200.
See, I think that's a very high number, and I like that number a lot.
Yeah,
right?
+2,200. He's like the third highest on that list.
He had what, 297 strikeouts last year or something, right?
It's like 233 or 223, somewhere around there.
That's a lot. Yeah. But let me take that back a little bit. That's a lot from my perspective. I guess now everybody strikes out Major League Baseball, so nobody frowns upon that.
And you know he's going to fan at least 7 today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cole Reagans, +2,200 to lead baseball in strikeouts. This is all via DraftKings, FYI. Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt Jr. to lead the league in stolen bases. Ellie De La Cruz is a minus number.
Oh, he is, yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. +1,800 to lead the league in stolen bases. I don't like this bet because of the addition of Jonathan India. If India is on second and Bobby Witt's on first, Bobby Witt's not stealing second unless they just become the double steal team in the world, which fireworks and everything for me as well.
What are you, 1980 all over again, which would be great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then somebody's hitting .390.
Yeah.
But no, again, like I think Bobby Witt Jr. to lead in stolen bases. I think he'll have another 30-30 year. I think it could be 40-40 year for Bobby Witt Jr. If that power picks up because he's starting to get into that grown man body. +1,800 for Bobby Witt Jr. to lead the league in stolen bases.
I was just looking up at the MLB network that we have on this morning because it is opening day and they had Ellie De La Cruz up there rounding the bases. And I'm thinking to myself, really the only way Bobby leads the big leagues in stolen bases this year, if that guy gets injured, and I don't want to see that guy get injured this year, but that's a nice bet if you're just, you know, looking for kind of a long shot. But I think Ellie De La Cruz leads the majors in stolen bases. He's such a dynamic player.
He's great. He's one of those futures of the game of young kids doing their thing. Bobby Witt Jr. +550. By the way, this stat and this prop bet leads all of baseball. He is the favorite here. +550 to lead Major League Baseball in hits.
I still like that number too. 5-1 basically to lead baseball in hits. That's a good bet. I think Bobby Witt is that guy this year.
Sorry, Luis Arraez. Your reign is over as being the singles lord. Like that's what the guy does. He hits like 340 every year, but he has like
Tony Gwynn 2.0.
Yeah, pretty much, just in the wrong era. Bobby Witt Jr., the MVP candidate. That's what everybody wants to know. A lot of people are placing that bet right now on DraftKings as of today. He is +400. He is only behind Aaron Judge, who is +310. It's a pretty close gap. The other thing there is Yordan Alvarez is the third. So a lot of people thinking Alvarez is going to have that year in Houston. He's +600. That's your top three in the American League MVP candidates. Aaron Judge at plus 310, Bobby Witt Jr. at plus 400, and Yordan Alvarez at plus 600.
I know the odds don't say that Bobby's the favorite going into this, but I think Bobby is the favorite this year for the MVP. I see a lot of people who cover the game saying Bobby Witt should be the MVP this year, like with their preseason predictions and all that kind of stuff. So while he's not the betting favorite, I think he is the voting favorite going in, which is all I care about right now. And if you're the voting favorite at this point of the season, you're already playing from ahead, right? That's kind of what we talked about last year with Bobby Witt Jr. not being the MVP. Plus 400, throw some dough on that, man. I think Bobby Witt can be your MVP. I saw a sneaky one in the National League that somebody said yesterday. I think it was ESPN. They like simulated a bunch of stuff. They got Pete Crow Armstrong as a potential MVP in the National League.
Heard of him. Pete Crow Armstrong.
Heard of him.
Yeah. Chicago Cubs. Look him up.
Okay.
His mother married somebody and they formed a baseball team and the kid managed or something like that. Like, you look up PCA. I saw that yesterday as him as a potential MVP candidate. There was some buzz about him down in Arizona, but I mean, I like MVP for Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker out there in Chicago nowadays. They got him from Houston this past season. Cole Reagan's ERA, you can bet this on DraftKings, over under 3. The under is plus 180. The over is minus 240. So it has to be 3 or below.
What if it hits three? It's a push.
It's a push.
Right?
Yeah. So if it's 299, you would win if you bet on it to go under at plus 180.
What was he last year?
Oh, that's a good question.
3.49.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's why over is minus 240. Plus, you don't see a lot of like 3 ERAs anymore. I mean, I know there's probably more than we could think of this past year. I mean, I know Chris Sale, Tark Skubal, those guys as well. But, yeah, 3 or under is plus 180, and then 3 or over is minus 240 for Cole Reagans. Seth Lugo also in that category, his ERA is at 4 on DraftKings. So 4 over would be minus 155, under plus 115.
He was 3.57 in 2023.
And he had a career year.
So basically you're saying, is he repeating that?
But I mean, if he's like...
That's the biggest... Lugo may be the biggest question mark on the entire team, right? And I say that in a good way. Can he repeat what he did last year? Mm-hmm. If he repeats what he did last year, this team will be golden.
Yeah, it'd be sick, because then you have your ace and your hose of the staff and Reagan's, and you go back with Lugo. I mean,
yeah, because I think everybody believes Reagan's going to be just fine. Bobby's going to be just fine. Salvi's going to be fine. Vinny, when he plays, if he's healthy, he's going to be just fine. Like, all that kind of stuff. Lugo is a big question mark because of having that career year.
So if I told you the Royals didn't meet their expectations, the first thing you would say is, well, did Lugo?
Yeah. What was the everybody after Cole Reagan's in the rotation?
Or it just completely fell off for Michael Wacha. Like, that'd be another one. Yeah, like, he just completely became like Daryl May or, you know, whoever else.
Daryl May.
Yeah, that's
God.
Right. He was on that game.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Left early, he was on that roster.
He was on that team, yeah.
Estevez to lead the American League in saves is plus 240. He'll go against the reigning Cy Young, or not Cy Young, but potential Cy Young winner. Class A will be there today. Hopefully we don't see him in the ninth inning.
Give me the next one before I comment.
Lucas Irsaig saves plus 370.
Okay, the reason I wanted you to do that is because I wouldn't bet on any Royals to lead the league in saves, because I don't think they have that
situational
defined role.
Closer.
It's going to be a situational thing, because if there's two guys on in the seventh and one out, Irsaig's coming in a one-run game. That will be, he's the old-school fireman that they had back in the day. When the situation allowed for it, you brought that guy in, they just pitched the eighth and ninth inning too if they came in the seventh back then. So I don't think we're going to have a defined closer. Maybe we get there later in the season, but I like the way that they're talking right now. Like, if we got two guys on and we need to get an out, Irsaig's our best option. He's coming in, whether it's the seventh inning or the ninth inning, because if he can't get through the seventh, the ninth doesn't matter.
We talked about it a little bit earlier. The Royals to win the World Series as of right now is plus 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great odds,
no.
But obviously it's the Royals. It's, you know, Vegas. They're going to put their odds at Yankees, Dodgers,
yeah,
you know,
They're going to try to clean that free money up, no doubt about it.
But plus 3,000. But you can bet forecast bets, which is like what you can predict for the future of the World Series. For the Royals to defeat the Dodgers is plus 6,000.
Okay.
Okay, so that's interesting. But for the Royals to defeat the Braves is plus 1,300.
13,000.
So plus 13,000 to defeat Atlanta, which what tells you there is
more of an indictment of the Braves.
Exactly. And they think that, you know, obviously there's it's the number is skewed up because of the Dodgers being the favorite. But for the Royals to be the Dodgers, plus 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate it. For the Royals to win the American League is plus 1,300.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bet I like. Because if they can handle business against Baltimore, win their division like we think they could do, and you take care of Baltimore and you take care of, I'm going to say, Seattle, you have a really good chance to have that number hit. And that number, I think, will dissipate throughout the season.
Yeah, it probably will, because I don't know, man. Like, a lot's going to determine what the Yankees do in the first 2 months of this season from a roster standpoint, right? Alcantara, we keep talking about, pitches today against, Paul Skeens, and it's the best pitching matchup of the day. Alcantara is a guy in Miami. You know, the Marlins trade everybody, and the Yankees need a starter at the top of their rotation. That may be, you know, a guy that they target and go after. So that's going to skew the odds a little bit right now as well. And I'm sure, as you mentioned, Vlad Jr. will somehow end up in New York at some point during the season. You know?
No doubt about it. And then the one that really matters, the one that we all like to talk about, the over-under win total on DraftKings right now for the Royals is 83.5 at minus 110.
Smash.
Yeah, I think you hit the over on this. I think
if you think the Royals are making the playoffs, you bet the over.
Yeah, I think they make 88 wins at least this year. So coming up on the other side, we will get back into our Royals expectations. Plus, around 9:20, we'll replay the George Brett interview in case you missed it. He says some interesting things about Michael Garcia, about MJ Melendez, and of course, I asked him about Jack Caglione. We'll dive all into that at 9:20, but coming up on the other side, we get into our Royal expectations on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Dusty, make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.